Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In our gospel text for today, Jesus has just told the disciples that they must forgive someone over and over and over again. And they realize how difficult of a challenge that is for them. And so they respond with some simple words, "Lord, increase our faith." The Lord responds with a simple statement. "If you had faith like the grain of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would do it." I bet those are words that you've said to yourself before. "Lord, increase my faith." You have felt like your faith wasn't strong enough, it wasn't powerful enough. Those are words that we probably have all spoken. Today we hear a lot about the days being difficult to be a Christian. We hear about the impending demise of Christianity. We hear about how the world has changed, how the nation has changed, how our culture has changed. Increasingly, people are walking away from the church, and many times they are not joining at all. The church has been declared to be irrelevant, judgmental, and hypocritical. And as the nation becomes more and more secularized, Christianity is being marginalized as well as relegated to the past. 4 years ago in Sunday school, we talked about different eras of time throughout history. For today, I'd like to divide the past from the beginning until today into four separate eras. A pre-Christian era, which was from the beginning up through about 300 AD. It was about 300 AD that Christianity really began to spread. Then there's the modern era between 300 and about 1600 or 1650. And that was the period of time when we might call that as a pre-modern era. And then the modern era has been described as from 1650 to about 1960. And then in 1960, we all remember those times when the world began to change, society began to change, and the current era that we talk about from 1960 to the present is considered to be the post-Christian era. As we look at the world today, it is almost reverting back to the pre-Christian era. The world today is looking more and more like the world did in Jesus' time. A world in which people did not know Jesus, they did not know his teachings, they did not know his mission. Well, if today is more like a pre-Christian era, what does that mean? What does that mean to us today? It means that we are not part of a dying institution. Rather, it means that we are more like Jesus' time, more like the time when the movement of Christianity began. It says that people are watching us. They are wondering, what are we up to? What makes those Christians tick anyway? So we need to be thinking about what that means to us. To consider ourselves to live in a pre-Christian world is to say that we can still have an impact on the world in which we live. It says that our stories and our services and our literature and our hymns can still have an impact on this world. It says that our everyday life means everything in the way that Jesus would have us live. That's exactly what was happening when Jesus talked to his disciples in Luke 17. He was teaching them about everyday life, in everyday values and everyday practices. In our text for today, he tells the disciples that they would need to forgive others. Even when they had been wronged over and over again, he says, seven times in a single day. Seven is a perfect number, meaning more than seven times. As many times as someone does something wrong towards you, you need to forgive them. That's the voice of forgiveness. That's the voice of everyday relationships, relationships that we have today with those around us. But forgiveness is a difficult concept for us. It's hard to forgive. The roots of bitterness can run deep. They can last long. They can be like tree roots deep into the ground, like a mulberry tree root, stubborn and difficult and strong. As I read that text, I thought, how would I have responded? You might ask yourself the same question. How do you respond to this statement that Jesus makes about forgiving everyone? I don't know what your response might be, but mine was this. Good grief, Jesus. You really expect us to forgive people that many times? That often? I'm not sure I can do that. I'm a broken human being. The disciples, too, recognized the difficulty of that challenge for them. They recognized that if that's what they're supposed to do, then they need to have a greater faith. And they respond with the simple words, increase our faith. When they said that, Jesus saw that as a teaching moment. And so he said the words that he said, not as a way to make a command, but as a way to encourage them. Notice that he did not say, sure, guys, presto, change-o, here you have greater faith. Rather, he said, if you had a faith like the grain of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Our first reaction to that statement is, Jesus is pointing out my weakness of faith. Jesus is telling me my faith is not strong enough. After all, I seriously doubt that a mulberry tree would be transplanted into the ocean even if commanded to do so by the Pope himself. Unfortunately, neither Jesus nor Luke explain the entire meaning of this response. But you have to admit that it is quite an image. With just a little bit of faith, Jesus is saying, a faith as small as a mustard seed, the faith that you have right now. With that small faith, you can uproot a 30-foot mulberry tree and transplant it to the bottom of the sea. I can't imagine the Christian saying to a mulberry tree, listen, tree, pull up your roots. Head for the ocean. You're going to be the first mulberry tree planted at the bottom. And then all of the things, seeing this mulberry tree flying off to the ocean to transplant itself to the bottom of the sea. I just can't imagine that. And so what does this text have to say to us today? Here's what I think it says. It says that even a very small of faith, if it's a genuine trust in God, can result in remarkable results. In John chapter 15, he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Jesus is saying that it's not helpful to quantify our faith. To quantify your faith is to give it a relative value. When I was in practice, we would ask people, how bad is your pain today? On a scale of 0 to 10, 0 is no pain, 10 is the worst pain you can imagine. How bad does it hurt? And when they first came in, people would typically say 8, 9, 10. And then through later visits, they would reduce that number to 6 or 5. And hopefully by the time we were finished treating them, it would be back down to 0. That is, of course, unless they called you on a Sunday morning when their pain was always at, rather than a 0 to 10, it was always at a 15. In his response, Jesus is not asking us to assign a relative value to our faith. That's not what he wants us to do. He doesn't want to have us put our faith into some relative value. But that's what the disciples were asking when they said, increase our faith. In other words, they were saying, Jesus, give us more faith. Give us a heroic faith. Give us enough faith in the hard times to do the hardest things. And we've all said that, haven't we? We have all said, if only I had enough faith. If only I could just believe a little bit stronger. Or we've said the opposite, I guess I just don't have enough faith. As you think about those statements, they put all the weight on us, all the weight on our shoulders. Do we believe enough? Do we trust enough? Do we have enough faith to make things happen? So if I'm saying that faith is not to be quantified, if faith is not intended to have a number attached to it, how do we understand Jesus' words to have faith like the grain of a mustard seed? How can faith send a mulberry tree dashing off to jump into the ocean? I believe that Jesus' concept of faith puts the whole matter of faith into the relationship that we have with him. Faith is like a mustard seed. Faith, like a grain of mustard seed, is simply to trust in him. A trust that abides in him, a trust that depends on him, a trust that lives every day in him. It's only in Christ that we can move mulberry trees. Even deep-rooted, tall mulberry trees like bitterness or the lack of forgiveness, those things are possible only if Christ lives in us. So faith, like a grain of a mustard seed, says, I can forgive, not because I have enough faith to do it, but rather because I live and make decisions inside a strong relationship with Jesus Christ. Faith, like the grain of a mustard seed, says, I already have what I need to live a Christian life in Jesus. I have Christ. Or better yet, Christ has me. The one who came and died, the one who broke through death and came back to life for me. The one who called me in baptism and made me his own. It is he who makes seemingly impossible things possible. So you see, in Christ you can confront the person who has wronged you. In Christ you can offer forgiveness. In Christ you can do the hard things that your faith requires you to do, to give that faith or share that faith with your neighbor. In Christ you can make time to pack food for the hungry, even when it seems like you're too busy. In faith you can drop that quarter into that LWML mite box, believing that it will make a difference. In Christ, you can hold the hand of your least favorite neighbor when he or she is in the hospital. In faith in Christ, you can visit the homebound. The LWML has always lived by a mustard seed faith. Little gifts, mites, coins of little value. When those are combined across the synod, They make great things happen in mission. Christ has been moving mulberry trees through the LWML since 1942. And what a model they are for the Christian disciples. If our congregations are the soul of the LCMS, if our pastors and workers and missionaries are the beautiful feet of the LCMS, if our seminaries and universities are the mind of the LCMS, then surely the LWML is the heart of the LCMS. The women of the LWML have taught us what it means to move mulberry trees with the faith of a mustard seed. In our relationship with Jesus, we have what is necessary to do even the impossible things. And that really shouldn't be so hard to believe. Jesus has moved us from death to life, from being orphans to being his adopted children, from being guilty to being cleansed, from conflict to resolution and reconciliation. May that be your attitude the next time you find it is difficult to follow Christ. What appears to be hard, what even appears to be impossible, that may be just the thing that we need to live with Christ day to day in our lives. And because Christ abides with us, the difficult thing can be done with joy. May it be said of us today, those were the days when Christians moved mulberry trees. Amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith like the grain of a mustard seed. Amen.